to victims of crime and their families for trusting me during the darkest times. Introduction. Decisions, decisions. I only remember two things from my wedding ceremony. I remember trying to take off my white gloves so my bride could slip the ring on my finger, even though she had told me no fewer than 1,000 times she would slide it on over the glove. Oh my heavens, was she unamused. The pain of that relatively poor decision did not last very long, though. It was the other thing that happened during the wedding that weighed on my mind for decades, and still does from time to time. At the end of the ceremony, our wonderful and dearly loved pastor said, "Now I present you with Mr. and Mrs. Trey Gowdy. He will be in the governor's mansion one day, and she will be our first lady." I was 24 years old, 1 week removed from taking the bar exam, and had not even had my first legal job. But the expectation was set, a lofty one, in front of all of our family, friends, and acquaintances in the church we grew up in. It was an expectation that I could not imagine reaching. I wish he had said, "Terry will be the governor one day, and Trey can be her first gentleman." That I could get behind. On that day and for a season thereafter, I let someone else set the expectations for what my life should look like. Perhaps you would have viewed the comment as harmless fun, which it was. Perhaps you would have viewed it as a goal to shoot for, and nothing more. I should have done that, but I did not. I let other people define what was success for too long in my life, and I spent many years chasing the fulfillment of other people's expectations. This is not the only example of me allowing others to chart my course, but it is one I remember 30 years removed. Some people die trying to meet the expectations of others. It is a lifelong sentence they submit themselves to. I was on that path. So I want to ask you a question, the one I should have asked myself a long time ago. What is the standard by which you judge a life to be well lived? Some believe life is defined by their work, their career path, how high they've risen in a company, or how happy they are in their job. Others would measure the quality of their relationships with friends and family. For some, the pursuit of education and the unceasing craving for knowledge drive a meaningful life. Or maybe the photo sections of our phones or photo albums are really what tell our stories, revealing who and what we treasure. For most of my life, I evaluated my significance by the type and quality of the work I did. I firmly believed that my life could be judged a, quote, success by others if I could secure this job or master this set of responsibilities. Through work, so I thought, I could prove my value to the world. On those frequent days when the jobs, titles, and responsibilities did not match the expectations I had set or let others set for myself, my fallback marker was my relationships. I could rely on success by association since many of my friends were more noteworthy than I was. Admittedly, this is not an ideal way to navigate through life, but it is, candidly, how I operated for more than half of my existence. I have come to realize that there is something larger that binds a life together. There is an inherent link among the jobs you take and the ones you don't, the people you befriend and the relationships you end, the schools you choose and the hobbies you pursue. Every one of those pursuits is initiated, nurtured, extended, or perhaps severed because of the decisions you make. If you believe life is primarily defined by your career paths, think of the myriad decisions that shape that road. You have to decide which field to go into. You have to decide where to apply for work and which offer to accept.